Thank you. I feel the heat coming up a little bit now.
So I can take my coat off.
Okay. Well, thank you. I always enjoy bringing a message from time to time, and thank you for welcoming me. So the title of today's message is A Great Secret, A Great Secret. And I find this to be very thought-provoking. I teach on what, you know, the Lord has been putting on my heart, and I was had been studying this for a little while, and Ryan called me Tuesday, said he had the opportunity to go away with Liz, and I said, great, I'll fill in for you, so here I am. But, a great secret. Open your Bibles, please, to 1 John, the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 9, and it will be up behind me on the screen, too. 1 John 4, 9. 1 John is such a phenomenal book. So, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. The last three words of this verse have intrigued me for years and years. What does it mean to live through him? And how do I allow that to happen in my life? You know, how do I live through Jesus, and how do I allow Jesus to live through me? Very interesting question. And I believe the answer to this question is one of the great secrets in living the Christian life, the life that God wants us to live. You'll note that this verse is a lot different than other verses that talk about our salvation. You know, it does not say he sent his one and only Son into the world that, you know, we should have our sins forgiven. Or that he sent his one and only Son into the world that we should have eternal life. This verse is different. And it is the Word of God, so we need to take it seriously. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. So, you know, a very pleasant ring to it. Every time I read it, I say, well, that's just a pleasant ring to that. Live through him. What's that all about? And we're going to dig into that some today. And I think if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then you would want to live through him. And you would want to know what that means to have him live through you. So, as I say, we're going to dig into this today and unravel what I think is a secret of the Christian life. A secret that can bring us joy and freedom and happiness and peace like we haven't known before. So, learning to live through him. Now, to get into discovering what this means, we have to lay a foundation first. It's very important that we understand some basic truths first. And so I'm going to give you a little review. And I hope the little review is very refreshing. So a little review and then perhaps something new. The very moment that somebody receives Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in their heart. The very moment of your salvation, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. I can't emphasize enough the importance of knowing this. You know, and many, many Bible verses support this truth. We'll just put up a couple of them. Galatians 4:6. Okay, that's coming up. Galatians 4:6. Okay. Because you are his sons, God sent his Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out Abba, Father. Another scripture would be Romans 8:11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. You know, Paula, our dear sisters, Paula and Barbara, you know, they're now enjoying the fruit of the Holy Spirit living in them as they're in our Lord's presence, enjoying a wonderful new life. So would you please say it with me? The Holy Spirit lives in me. Let's all say it. The Holy Spirit lives in me. Okay? This is just an incredibly glorious thing. And we should meditate on it and think about it often. You know, God himself, the third person of the Trinity, comes to live right in our hearts. To me, that just blows me away. It's just mind-blowing to think of that. And as I say, it's worth thinking about it often. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, you know, we don't accept a moral code. We don't accept principles. We don't accept a program on how to improve our lives. But what we accept into our hearts when we accept Jesus is a living person. The living person, Jesus Christ, and his living Holy Spirit come to live in us. And that's what makes the Christian life, you know, a personal, intimate relationship between you and Jesus, right? A lot more than some self-improvement program. He comes to live with us. And it's his Holy Spirit living in us that gives witness to his presence in us. You know, it's how we know that we know that we know. There's a verse in 1 John 4:13. We're not going to put it up, but listen to what it says. This is how we know that we live in him and he lives in us. He has given us his Spirit. So his Spirit in us testifies to the fact that Christ is alive and real and living in us. We who were spiritually dead come to be spiritually alive because his Holy Spirit lives in us. Now, I can remember very clearly when I first became a believer in Jesus. I just had this distinct feeling that Jesus was very, very much alive and that he was living in me. Before I thought, well, I know there's a God. I believed in God and he was out there somewhere. But there was that moment when just very powerfully he made himself, you know, revealed himself to me. And I knew for certain that he was alive and he was living in me. Many of you probably have a similar experience, and it's the Holy Spirit living in us that witnesses to that truth of the reality and the presence of Jesus Christ with us. So that's point one. That's the foundation, the fact that the Holy Spirit lives in us. And all this is leading up to how we allow Christ, his Holy Spirit, to live through us. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do in us? Once the Holy Spirit's in us, what does he do in us? Well, he does quite a lot, quite a lot. I just read an article. It said 50 things the Holy Spirit does in you. And I read down those 50 things, and I said, yep, he does every one of them. He does every one. I think there was another article following that, 100 things the Holy Spirit does in you. I didn't read all of that one. But he does so much in our lives that we couldn't possibly cover even half of them today. Today we're going to just focus on one very essential one. And that's this. One of the most important works of the Holy Spirit is to make you holy. That's why he's called the Holy Spirit. He wants to make us holy. He tries to and works on and does holy us up. That's one of his main functions. You know, we're positionally holy. Once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're positionally holy. Every sin we've ever committed or will ever commit, it's forgiven, it's washed away. But the Spirit living in us wants us to become practically holy in the here and now, and to be ever looking more like Jesus. And that's a big part of our witness to the world, that we are a holy people. We're called to be, and holiness actually, it means different, separated. We're to be a holy people. And we're to stand out as being a holy people so that, you know, when you're in the office or you're at work and bad jokes are being told or improper jokes, you know, you walk away. You don't listen. Or the guys start passing around some magazine that shouldn't be looked at, you know, you don't look at it. And your holiness stands out because of that, because you take a stand. There's not a person alive that can follow Christ or live the way Christ wants us to live without the help of the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit in us, you know, he knows everything that goes on in us. He knows everything. He knows every thought we have. He knows what goes on in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit works on us to make us holy. As the Spirit indwells us, you know, he will correct our hearts. He will correct our thinking. You know, did you ever notice when you start to get like a pick up a bad attitude, maybe somebody's like offended you or bothered you, and you start to pick up a bad attitude, and you realize that it's like, man, I'm developing a bad attitude towards this person. I'm not a, this isn't right. And we start to really judge our own attitude. I'm developing this attitude towards that person. And that's the Holy Spirit, you know, nudging us, saying, hey, you shouldn't be thinking that way about them. You shouldn't be thinking that way about them. You need to change your attitude. I'm going to help you change your attitude. That's how the Holy Spirit works in us. He challenges us. He corrects our hearts and he corrects our thinking. When we're first saved, boy, I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit comes into a very dirty house. A very dirty house. My house was very dirty when I was first saved, and he had to do some cleaning up. So the Spirit comes into our house and he starts to clean up. He starts to clean house. You know, he looks around our house and he says, oh man, I see some lust in the corner over there. Well, we got to get rid of that. And I see some greed. Oh my goodness, here's a whole room full of greed. You know, just this person is just living for themselves. You know, their idea of money is to just grow bigger piles and spend it on themselves. I see some greed. We got to take care of that greed. You know, he opens up a closet, and oh my goodness, the Holy Spirit looks in that closet and he sees fear and he sees worry, and the Holy Spirit has to get out his anti-worry cleaner and start to clean up that closet. Maybe he gets out some trust in God cleaner and starts to clean up that closet, you know. So you get the idea. The Holy Spirit is working in us to clean us up, to make us more like Jesus. And the cleaning will go on and on, thank God it will, for the rest of our Christian lives. Hopefully, the pile is getting smaller and smaller. How well this cleaning process goes depends on how well we cooperate with the Holy Spirit and begin to let him live through us. Here's a beautiful thought. I think it's a beautiful thought. In all this cleaning business, it is God's desire, his loving desire, to bring us into greater and greater freedom. It's all about being brought into greater and greater freedom. You know, we might think God is taking something away from us, cramping our style, but actually, he's bringing us into a place of greater freedom every time he removes something or diminishes it in our lives. Think of the story of the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler came to Jesus. He was a young man, and he was wealthy. He was very wealthy, right? He had a lot of money, but the problem was, his money had him. His money had him. And Jesus was trying to set him free. He was trying to set him free to break his bondage to that love of money. The young man went away sad. Hopefully, sometime after that, you know, he learned that Jesus was trying to bring him freedom from the love of money. In cleaning up our houses, God always wants to bring us into a greater level of freedom. So we've laid our foundation. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and the Holy Spirit is working on us to bring us into greater levels of holiness and freedom. So what does it mean to live through God? He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. What does it mean to let Jesus live through us? Well, first, we need to understand, I think the sentence is going to go up on the board. There's a difference between living for Jesus and allowing Jesus to live through us. There is a difference. Not that living for Jesus is a bad thing. I think God appreciates our efforts, but our own efforts will only get us so far. Allowing Jesus, allowing his Holy Spirit to live through us, takes our walk with God to a whole other level. Many Christians discover this secret as they go on in their walk with God, as they go on and pursue him. And it's not that they're not believers. They're believers and they're working very hard. But there's more. If you don't mind, I'm just going to read you a little excerpt from a book the saving life of Christ. And this is by a man named Major W. Ian Thomas. He was a Brit, saved at a young age, and he was zealous for the Lord. Even as a young man, he was going out witnessing all over London and running crusades. But he reached the point where he burned out. And I'll read part of this to you. Thus, by age 19, I had been reduced to a state of complete exhaustion spiritually until I felt there was no point in going on. Then one night in November that year, just at midnight, I got down on my knees before God, and I just wept in sheer despair. I said, "Oh God, I know that I am saved. I love Jesus Christ. I am perfectly convinced that I am fully converted. With all my heart, I have wanted to serve you. I have tried it to my uttermost, and I am a hopeless failure." That night, things happened. I can honestly say that what I had never once heard from the lips of men, this message came to me then. But God, that night, simply focused upon me the Bible's message of Christ who is your life, or Christ who is within you. The Lord seemed to make plain to me that night, through my tears of bitterness, "You see," said the Lord, "for 7 years, with utmost sincerity, you have been trying to live for me, the life that I have been waiting for 7 years to live through you." Okay? There's a difference, isn't there? There's a difference. There's a difference between living for Jesus and allowing Jesus by his Holy Spirit to live through us. Think of it this way. Think of your own fight to overcome sin and temptation. When we're new believers, when we've met Jesus and we realize that some things in our lives are going to have to change, the Holy Spirit starts to convict us of sin. He begins to clean us up. And our natural response is to just put forth effort and to try to obey God. I'm sorry, my nose is running a little here. Once the heat comes up, that'll stop. So our natural response is, you know, we try to obey God and we put forth some good human effort and we quickly find out that it doesn't work very well, right? And we're still tempted the same way, and we still fail the same way. So then we begin to pray, and we ask God to help us in our efforts. We ask God to join with us in the fight. And we and God together are going to defeat the enemy. And again, we find that that doesn't work very well either. We keep falling into the same traps. Until we understand how to let Jesus, let his Spirit, live his life through us. And then we will find real victory. Here is how, and here is the secret. The moment you find yourself tempted or challenged in any area, you stop trying to fight it on your own. And immediately you pray, "Holy Spirit, I know you are living in me. You are the very Spirit of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I ask you now, Holy Spirit, to manifest," that means show, "to manifest your whatever you need at that moment. You know, your purity, your peace, your patience, your courage." And if you believe that, the Holy Spirit in you will do that. That's how we begin to let Jesus live through us. Okay? Now, it's a lot more than a formula. It might seem a little bit formulaic, is that the word? But it's not, because prayer is powerful. And the right prayers are powerful. You know, isn't it interesting that Jesus lived his life the same way? Jesus did not do anything on his own. He said, I don't do anything by myself, only what the Father tells me to do. I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. Jesus knew it was the Father dwelling in him that performed his works. And the sooner we learn it's the Holy Spirit in us that will perform those works in us, you know, the better off we are. When we come to that realization, that same realization, we will cry out for the Holy Spirit to live through us, to manifest himself through us. Here's a little illustration. It might sound kind of little to you. Unless you have a food issue, then it might be real. The other day I was going from store to store. I was doing some shopping. It was getting late in the day, and I was starting to head home. And all of a sudden, I had the desire for a candy bar. I had a real strong desire for a candy bar. It was actually Halloween afternoon. And when I think of Halloween, I think of candy. Yeah? And I'm thinking, man, I would like a candy bar. Maybe there's a candy bar in the car here somewhere. I'm looking through. Maybe I'll look in the glove compartment. Maybe I stashed one in there. So I look in the, no candy bars in the glove compartment, you know. Oh, there's a CVS. I'm going to pull into that CVS. They have some great candy bars in there, I'll tell you. I like candy. And I tell you, I'm not that big, but if you get between me and a Reese's peanut butter cup, I'll knock you over. All right? I'll take your knees off. All right? Because, man, maybe that's not your favorite, but boy, that chocolate and that peanut butter together, I'll tell you, it's sinful. It's positively sinful. So, I thought, well, it's almost dinner time. It's getting near dinner time. And I said, I shouldn't eat candy now. I'll go home. Linda will have dinner ready. And all right. Holy Spirit, will you just take away this desire from me for a candy bar right now? And within a few seconds, that desire went away. I didn't feel like a candy bar. Okay? Now, I say that might sound like a little example, but it works in every situation. If you believe it, the Holy Spirit will live through you no matter what temptation you're facing. You got to work at it. You got to practice it. But he's in us for a reason, and it's to live through us. My temptation went away. My desire for a candy bar went away. Right? The same truth, as I say, will work for any temptation, any fear, any worry. It's actually meant to be more than a one-time thing. It's meant to be our lifestyle. We're to develop a lifestyle where we're allowing the Holy Spirit to live through us. You know, Linda had to make a phone call a couple weeks ago, and she really wasn't looking forward to it, my wife Linda. And she said, oh, I don't want to call this person. I can't do it. And it might have been a difficult conversation. And I said, well, honey, I said, you don't have to do it. I said, you can let the Holy Spirit do it through you. And she says, you're right. She says, I don't have to do it. I'll let the Holy Spirit do it through me. The Holy Spirit will give me his love. And she went in and she called this person up. And they had a 20-30 minute conversation. She got off the phone. She was happy. The other person, I knew they were lifted up. You see? Letting the Holy Spirit live through us. God has sent his one and only Son into the world that you might live through him and that he might live through you. Well, hopefully I've given you some new things, a new thing to think about today. But before I finish, I want to do one other thing, and that's give an invitation. I want to give an invitation. In order to experience the victorious life that we've been talking about today, you first have to be a member of God's family. You have to be one of his children in his family. And Jesus wants everyone to be in his family. You know, God tells us that he doesn't want anybody to perish. You know, that means live eternity separated from the Lord and live it in not a very good place, a place the Bible calls hell. All right? Not a good place at all. But that's why Jesus came. He came and he died on the cross to make it possible for anyone who believes in him to be forgiven of their sins and have eternal life. He died for your sins. You know, he died for our sins to pay the penalty for our sins. And even though Jesus did that, there's something that we need to do on our part. We need to receive that gift. We need to open our hearts and receive that gift that he's offering us. And it's not hard to do. It's just a matter of opening your heart and saying, Jesus, I want to accept that gift that you have for me. And if you're here today and you know that your life is not right with God, if it's not where it should be, if you're separated from him, if you've never invited him into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that now, to do that at this time. So can we all just bow our heads, please? If you sense God tugging on your heart this morning, that's the Holy Spirit, you know, calling you to him. And as I pray, you just pray after me. You know, with the words that I'm going to say, you just say them quietly to yourself, but it won't be to yourself because God will be hearing you. And just pray after me if you'd like to invite Christ into your heart this morning. Yeah, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe you are the Savior sent by your Father into the world. And I believe that on the cross you took the punishment of my sins upon yourself. Come into my heart today, Lord Jesus, and wash me clean. I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Thank you. If anybody prayed that prayer for the first time today, I would really appreciate it if afterwards you come up and just talk to me, and I'd like to talk to you. It'll do my soul good to know that you've come into the kingdom today. It's as simple as that. So I'm going to wrap up now, and for the rest of us, I might say that you may want to take some time today focusing on what you've heard, asking the Holy Spirit in you to start living through you, to make that a resolve of your prayer life when tempted or in any challenging situation. You might even want to do that today. Well, if we can put some music on in the back, we have some quiet music we can play. The altar will be open up here. If anybody wants to come up and start to deal with some issues and ask the Holy Spirit to, you know, manifest himself in you if you need help today, then, hey, we're in church, and that's what church is all about, right? A place where we work with the Lord and he cleans us up, yeah, to bring us into true freedom, true freedom. Thank you. Fabian?